I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
All right, friends, I want to start this episode out by giving you some context. If you Google our next guest, Pastor Gerald Johnson, you will see a ton of media, a ton of articles that have been written about him. As I was researching him, I was actually very shocked to read some of the headlines, which I guess is what headlines are supposed to do, get your attention. But Steph, can you read a few of these headlines about our next guest?
From BET.com, which is Black Entertainment Television, Priest claims after-death experience included Rihanna songs. Entertainment Weekly states that TikTok pastor says he went to hell and her demons torturing sinners with Rihanna's umbrella. Paper Magazine states, Priest Who Died says Rihanna is hell's soundtrack. Billboard.com says TikTok pastor says he went to hell and demons tortured him with Rihanna, Jasmine Sullivan songs.
So these are all huge media outlets. Entertainment Weekly, Billboard Magazine, BET. So as you can imagine, Pastor Gerald was very happy when I told him we would not edit his comments to make anything he said to be out of context. So when he says in this conversation that certain media lacked journalistic integrity, that's what he's talking about. And you can imagine the backlash he got as well when some of these media outlets twisted what he said. So this is what he's talking about. However, it also led to him sharing some things with us that he has not shared with any media outlets. So we are very honored to have him share all of this here on Tell Us a Good Story. Steph.
I'm so excited. I am so, this is something that I have prayed about.
So
and
unique.
God literally laid him in our lap.
This.
Wow.
I've never seen this type of story.
Never.
So I'm super excited
to
have
guys,
this conversation.
It's going to be so good.
Well, friends, our next guest is a husband, a father, and a pastor. He founded Faith Culture Church near Austin, Texas, back in 2011. However, this man also had a near-death experience 7 years ago that led to him experiencing hell. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Pastor Gerald Johnson.
Oh, Pastor, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for saying yes to us, Pastor. I have to admit, you might be the quickest response of any guest we've ever had on Tell Us a Good Story. I sent you an invite, and it was like, boom, 2 hours later, you reserved a time slot with us. So thank you. You made it easy for me.
You know what? We had to get a public relations person, a PR person to kind of monitor things. And when they came across your program, they said, oh, absolutely. This is golden. And they said that it's an amazing national platform that's full of integrity. So I said, hey, let's do it.
Oh, that's awesome. If only everyone would be able to do that for us, right?
That's fantastic. Okay, so before we get into your story, I am fascinated, Pastor, about how someone goes viral. So you posted a video and I looked it up, and on TikTok alone, you've had over 4 million views on the TikTok video of your story. So what is that like when you go viral for something? Does everyone out of the woodwork just start calling you like we did, right? And just checking on you, asking your story? How does that work?
I take it back a little bit. This is a crazy thing, but a month before it went viral, I was in the bathroom and I looked at my face in the mirror. And I heard a voice say that I am anointing your image. And I was like, wow, I didn't really understand what that meant, but it says I'm anointing your image. And I told my friends that I heard this voice. So a month after that, I didn't do any advertising. I didn't do any special hashtags. I didn't do any special platforms. I just simply just wanted to share the story because it's a true story. And within, I don't know, it just happened instantaneously out of nowhere. There's no formula that I can tell you. It just, all of a sudden, it just went crazy. And first it hit a million. And I just thought like, wow, this is absolutely strange on TikTok. And then after it hit a million and it went to 2 million, I told my congregation, like, I told you guys this was going to happen. And then once it hit 3 million, then that's when the crazy stuff started happening. That's really? When, yeah, that's when news media outlets got a hold of it that, like I said before, that lacked journalistic integrity and it kind of twisted the story up. Then I started getting a lot of attacks.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not surprising, though.
It's not surprising, unfortunately.
That's not surprising. That's how that works. Okay, so what did you tell your congregation? Did you say, hey, I'm getting ready to release my story. Get ready because I'm believing this is ready to take off.
No, I really didn't know what it meant. I just told them that I looked in the mirror and I believe that the Lord told me that he's anointing my image. And I'm not trying to be like I'm handsome or something. It wasn't that. It was just I just told people in advance, like, this is what's going to happen. I had no idea that it would be through that, through a video or anything. It just, before I posted that video, I had already had videos out that had hit like 100,000, 200,000 because of just sharing truth. And the TikTok platform at that time, the algorithm was just wide open for new people, I guess. And it just happened. I wish I could tell you a formula, but it just, God said it, then it happened.
So let's go back 7 years ago.
Yes.
Can you tell us your story, Pastor?
Yes. February 2016.
February 2016. Okay. Tough time in my life. So first of all, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, which means ghetto, which means hood, which means fight. When you don't get your way, you fight. We got to make you believe physically. So I give my heart to God around the age of 18. And when I did that, now I can't fight anymore. I have to turn the other cheek. So that's what people do wrong. So that's extremely difficult when you're used to, as the young people say, throwing the blows. So I become a pastor years later, and I had just went through this weird season where a lot of people that I felt that I had been good to had maybe turned against me. You know, sometimes this job is the most thankless job. It's like the pay is short, the hours are long, but the benefits are out of this world, literally. And but you have to deal with a lot of things with people. So I've dealt with people that I had helped maybe get homes, and a lot of them just turned at once and started attacking, and I couldn't fight them. I just had to just take it. So I am internalizing all of these things, and I didn't know how much it was weighing on me. And I'm starting to feel emotional telling this. I don't know why. And I do this every time. But all these things were weighing on me. And I remember sitting up in my bed thinking and feeling like I was having a heart attack because of it. Mm. And usually if that happens to me, if anything physically happens or anxiety or anything, I just start worshiping. And when I worship, it usually goes away. But this time it didn't. And then the next thing, I started just praying. My wife was, you know, in bed to the right of me, and I'm just not wanting to really wake her up, but I'm just praying and praying. And then that didn't work. And the next thing you know, I collapsed down in my bed. And some of the news medias are saying, people are saying that I died. I never said I died. I just, I felt like I was having a heart attack. But I do know that I collapsed.
Okay.
And my spirit came out of my body to where I could see it laying in my bed. And for some reason, I thought that I was going to be going up because of maybe I had did some good.
We've talked to people, Pastor, who've had near-death experiences. And it's just what you said, where it's almost like their spirit comes out of their body. They can see themselves like below them.
Mm-hmm.
The one individual said that they kind of like went through the roof of their house and they could see down, and they could see like their wife in another room and all that as they were leaving their body.
Oh, yeah, very true. I found out that we're not natural beings who have spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings who are having a temporary natural experience. Like, you know, we're more spiritual than we are fleshly. This is just an earth suit for us for 80, 90 years. If I don't even want to say lucky, because to be with the Lord is even more blessed than being here. But yeah, that happened to me. I had that experience and I came out of my body. I saw myself lying there. I saw my room, and then I thought I was going upward.
Okay.
But the next thing you know, I'm going down.
Ooh.
Into the center of the earth. And I'm traveling down, and I'm having all these, you still have these, your senses are like extreme. They're much more than they are on the earth. So I'm having these thoughts of, am I being betrayed by God? Just, you know, like, is all this a lie? And as I'm heading down, I start to feel heat. I didn't see any fire at all, but it was intense heat. And it was more torment than it was like fire or something.
So does it feel like you're on a roller coaster where you're just going down, 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 down? or that's something I'm just making up?
It feels like a roller coaster, but it's slower than that. It's more like a movie show ghost floating around. It's like that. It's kind of like a descent as opposed to a...
Okay.
You know. Were you freaking out when you kept going down? Was your heart pounding like, oh my gosh, this is happening?
Well, I didn't have a heart. I was a spirit, you know, so... But oh. I was saying that my emotions...
That's a good point.
Yeah. But my emotions, though, because you do have these emotions. It was the same feeling, that anxiety of just like, and then the intense thought of hopelessness. That I think that's one of the worst things about that place, is that there's no hope. So, yeah, I'm feeling heat without a body, which is wow. That's something else. And then I'm going down, and then there's this hopelessness, and then I land. And if you want me to share with you exactly So I landed and I'm there. I'm in this place and I'm thinking that this is my destination. I look to my left and I see a man that was, if you've ever seen the movie Nightmare on Elm Street with Freddy Krueger, the way his body was burned, this man had like a billion degree burn all over his body. He was just burned. And it seems like, you know, whenever you die, you get a new body. So if you go to heaven, you're going to get a new body. If you go to that place too, there you get a new form or a new body. So he was burned and his eyes were bulging out. He was on all fours like he was like a human slave dog. And what was worse than that is who was holding the chain. He had a chain on his neck. And like I said, what was worse than him being a slave dog type of whatever that was, it was who was holding the chain. I looked and I saw a demon holding the chain, and things in that place, they're not said, they're just known. It's almost like a telepathic thing, you know? So when you look, you know what the story is. So I knew that this demon that was holding the chain, he was assigned to this man's life when this man was on the earth for the purpose of having power over him in the afterlife. So when you see families that deal with like, okay, the granddad was a bad alcoholic, and then the son became one, then the grandson became one. Usually those are spirits writing people's lives in order to, for an opportunity to have power over them in the afterlife.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what did this demon look like that was holding the chain to that man?
The best way to describe it was a black, a gruesome bear. Is the best way, you know, some of these movies that depict demons, I know that they've seen something because they draw it kind of close to what it actually looks like. But just imagine a bear, that's a gruesome monster bear, werewolf type of thing.
Okay.
Kevin, did you know the two things I love to do is eat and support small businesses?
That is correct.
And Snacks with a Twist checks both boxes.
From specialty pretzels to sweet treats like peanut butter bark and our kids' favorite Buckeye and Marshmallow Pops, this store is a one-stop shop for snacks, treats, and gifts.
You guys will not be disappointed with anything you purchase, and they will ship it to your doorstep. They are a proud sponsor of Tell Us a Good Story.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story. You are listening to the Tell Us a Good Story podcast on the AM/FM 24/7 network.
So it was like telepathically, you know who is who when you're in what feels like the pit of hell, right? So you're in there, you feel the extreme heat. What happens after that?
Okay, so you got this thing of thinking like, okay, I'm in this place and I don't think I deserve to be here. You've got this extreme pity for this man who was a slave. You got this demonic thing. I don't even know if the demonic thing saw me, because it never responded to me at all. I looked to my right, and there was another section, and in the other section there was music playing all throughout the section. And this is where people started making up stories about me and everything. But it was this music playing. It was the same kind of music that we hear on earth, but their demons were singing it. So I couldn't tell you like it was a specific artist. So in that particular moment, it seemed like it was R&B music playing and there was demons singing the song. And I knew that artists that sing on the earth, a lot of them are inspired by the demonic that happens in hell.
You know what? Yeah. That reminds me of what just happened at the Grammys this last year.
Sam Smith. Oh, that was so evil.
How that looked demonic.
Yes.
Whatever he was doing on stage there. That's what that just reminded me of and gave me goosebumps here as we're talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know this for sure. It's a for sure thing that many of the artists on the earth, they don't know that they're being used, but they're actually kind of like warding influence from that world for the purpose of, you know, misguiding people on the earth. Now, on the earth, when music is played, some of them are good, some of them are not good. There, every single song that's sang torments you. It's like the songs are there to remind you of how you had a chance to worship God while you were on the earth and you did not. So it's almost like I tricked you. You know, you could have been worshiping the Lord, but you were worshiping me while you were on the earth.
Oh.
So you hear music. You feel this evil presence. You see a slave, right? You see a demonic individual there. I guess, what else do you see? Do you see a bunch of people? Where do you go from there?
Whenever I imagined hell before this experience, I thought it would be like a whole bunch of people just around burning somewhere and just swimming in fire or something like that. But for some reason in this experience, and this is something that I didn't say in any of my interviews, but there were multiple people in that place that were being tormented by that music, being reminded of what they did on the earth. It wasn't a whole bunch, but there were multiple people. I couldn't give you a number.
Yeah.
As I'm looking at this and feeling like, why is this happening to me from a God that said he was good? Because, you know, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, Lord Jesus, you will be saved. I mean, for by grace we're saved through faith. It's a gift. So why would God do this to me? And as I'm thinking this, then all of a sudden my soul just lifts up out of that place. And one of the best feelings in the world is to know that that was just temporary.
Oh.
Yeah. So I come up out of there, and here's what I haven't told anybody. When I came up out of there, I went up through the earth, and then I went up above the earth, and I can see the earth, and I can see different continents. I could see just, I guess the best way to say it is that God's intention, that he wants people like myself and you guys to speak to people about that place. He loves the people in the earth and he wants them to understand that he doesn't put anybody there. We put ourselves there when we choose to reject him. Now I go back down into my room through my ceiling, see my body laying there, and I get back in my body and I look over to my left. And I see Jesus.
In your room.
In my room. Yeah. The hard thing about that is that I can't tell. You know, Paul wrote a scripture. He says, whether I was in the spirit or in the natural, I do not know. So it just seems like I was, even though I was back in my body, like I was more of a spirit being. That's the best way that I can describe it. And I saw him and he was speaking to me. Would you like to know what he told me?
Yes.
I'd also like to know what he looked like.
I want to know what he looked like, too.
That's been a thing I've been avoiding because that creates a lot of controversy because people want me to say that Jesus is white. Some want me to say that Jesus is black.
Oh,
fair.
You know, but I will tell you this. He said to me, he says, you have been secretly hoping that I hurt the people that hurt you. He said, these are not your people. These are my people. He was like rebuking me. He was giving me like a strict just a rebuke is the best word for it. But it's the most love I had ever felt in my life. Every word was so filled with love for me. It was almost like the parent that said, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, from this day forward, I only want you to focus on the assignment that I've given you because I'm going to do something through you that the world hasn't seen. And then he starts saying even more words, but the weight of the love on those words that he had spoke originally was too powerful for my soul. And I couldn't even ascertain the rest of it. And I knew that the reason why he let me see that, he actually didn't punish me. That was grace for me to be able to see, like, if I don't forgive and to be able to tell other people, if they don't forgive, a person that doesn't forgive is a person that's forgotten how much they've been forgiven of. And once you experience that place, you would not wish that on anybody who hurt you. So he gave me my assignment from that day to just warn people that I'm not sending them to hell. They're sending themselves to hell, number one. Number two, you got to forgive. That's what happened to me.
So it's forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
But how he was telling you not to have revenge, it was just love, 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 right? Yeah. Every word he said.
Yeah.
But you know what's so cool, Pastor? You got to see him. Where so many people, they feel him. It's too bright. They can't. But you got to experience and see him. Like, mm-hmm. That's just amazing. Well,
and that's life-changing.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Friends, we just want to take a moment here to say thank you to all you loyal listeners.
Just found out that Tell Us a Good Story is now in the top 1.5% of all podcasts worldwide. And that is because of you guys sharing with your family and friends on social media and giving us positive reviews on all the podcast platforms.
And if your friends ask, just tell them they can get our entire catalog of episodes at kevinandsteph.com or wherever they like to get their podcasts.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Tell Us a Good Story. If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
it. Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
You are listening to the Tell Us a Good Story podcast on the AM-FM 24/7 network. How long do you think this whole process went from leaving your physical body to coming back and talking to Jesus? I guess, well, you probably didn't say anything, right? But seeing Jesus.
Yeah, I didn't say anything. I couldn't. But the hard thing about this is that when you're in that realm, there is no time. Time is just something for us to measure when we're supposed to be on schedule or something. But from what I can tell, God is a transcendent God who exists outside of time. He just steps into time to deal with us. So if I had to try to put it in natural terms, it would probably be about 10 minutes.
Okay.
But I don't know.
When Jesus was talking to you, did all of a sudden you just like, you woke up and he was gone and you were like back in the natural?
Yeah. So perfect example. Say, for instance, an angel came to you, and when he came, he brought this presence that made everything go, whoa, like suspense. So while that's there, you can do nothing but just receive, right?
Okay.
And then when it lifted, then I did come to, but I just can't tell whether I wake up. I just can't tell the difference between the two. The lines are blurred between those two kind of like spiritual realms, like, you mm-hmm. know.
Was it hard for you to talk about this?
Right.
Oh, it was very difficult. I don't think mm-hmm. I mentioned anything to anybody for a couple of days afterward. I don't think I did. I instantly got up and because I have an iPhone, so I instantly got up and I, first of all, I'm thinking like, I'm so glad I'm not in that place. I'm having an experience of love for everyone that had done me wrong. I mean, the AI. I'm having like a grace for them, everyone that done me wrong. And I was just like forgiving everyone one by one. And then I wrote the experience down in my phone. And then I just sat on it for a couple of days and just, I cried a whole lot. I see humanity different now. It affected me emotionally like nothing else in my life. And I do remember writing in my phone, I am forever changed.
Mm.
So was it tough to go to sleep?
No.
It wasn't?
No. That level of love for me, it took away fear for me. I know that heaven exists, hell exists. I know Jesus is real. So fear, the fear thing to go to sleep, the fear to speak in front of all that stuff is left.
Do you still have that anxiety that made you collapse in bed, or has that even been lifted off of you?
That's been lifted too. And just like when the social media text came because of this that video, I know that people believe a false version of me. That's not me. So why do I worry about it?
You know? Yeah.
And he did tell me that I'm going to do something through you that the world hasn't seen. So
what do you tell people, Pastor, who feel like heaven and hell is not real?
Yeah.
Demons aren't real. That's all made up. That's just crazy stuff. What do you tell people today who have that train of thought.
When people say that hell is not real, I tell them, I pray that you never know.
Yes.
I pray that you never know. You know, for me, I know that heaven is real. So that's the best thing that I can do. I can tell people I've experienced it. So I know, and I hope that you never find out.
Oh.
And you know what, though? My job is to teach people about the love of God. When I talk to people about coming to God, I don't want to speak to them about coming to him out of fear, because it's really with love and kindness that he draws us, you know? Mm.
Steph, if I were pastor here, mm-hmm. when I kind of woke up, I would be calling everybody through my iPhone, like, hey, I forgive you. Hey, I forgive you. Hey, I forgive you. Like,
I thought you were going to say, like, you were going to hug me and kiss me and say, thank you, God.
I would do that first. I would do that first. And then I'd go through my iPhone.
Okay.
So yeah. What was the first time you told this experience, right? Was it to your congregation the following week? Or how long did you kind of hold this in before you shared it with an audience?
I know I told my wife first, probably sat on it for a couple of days, and then told her, hun, you will not believe this. And then it could have been about maybe a month later that I came out and spoke to the congregation about it. And just because I was really admonishing them to forgive, like, you have to forgive. And then I actually got in touch with the people who had done what I felt was wrong. So called them. You know you're delivered from people from unforgiveness when you no longer want people to pay for what they did.
That's true. So since this happened, Pastor, have you met any other individuals who have had the similar experiences where they went and experienced hell? Have you met anyone?
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If I was able to show you my inbox on Instagram or my DM on Instagram, it's full of people saying, I believe you, the same thing happened to me. Teenagers, young adults, older people, they said word for word, verbatim, the exact same experience.
Really?
Others have had many other wild experiences. Like a guy named Bill Wise, he has a book called...
Yes. Was it 23 Minutes or something in hell? Or
23 Minutes in Hell, yeah.
Okay. How does what you experienced line up with his story?
His experience was much more detailed and much more radical than mine. From his story, he kind of went there like one night and then another night and then another night and then another night. I thank God that did not happen to me. Yes, please, Lord. I don't need that.
You're like, I've learned my lesson. I have forgiven.
I'm not going to sleep.
I'm not.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the biggest thing was people were saying that how could a priest, because they said I was a priest, and that you know, the priest sees Rihanna in hell, or Rihanna's music is tormenting people to hell. But how could a priest go to hell? And I was telling people that it's not that God sent me to hell. He allowed me to see that place to bring back a message to people for hope and for love, that he doesn't want that place for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love this one quote. This was from CBN. Quote, I saw the real hell. I was there and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I don't care what he did to me. No one deserves that. End quote.
Yeah.
What an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, listeners, for more information about Pastor Gerald, you can go to his YouTube channel, Pastor Gerald A. Johnson. His church website is faithculturechurch.org, and his Instagram page is at Gerald A. Johnson. And we will put links in the show notes of all of this, so you can just click on it and go right to these websites. So, Pastor, that was fantastic.
Thank you, Pastor.
I know you've done this several times, but I really appreciate you sharing this story. It's just absolutely incredible. Thank you for what you've done.
Oh, wow. Yo, you know what? Thank you all for having me. I feel very safe, and I felt my heart felt at a place of peace to be able to fully explain exactly what happened. So that wouldn't be if you guys didn't have such a warm platform here.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Pastor.
You guys remind me of Ryan and Jen Johnson over at...
The Bethel?
At Bethel, yeah. So
wow. Wow.
You're very kind.
You are so kind.
I would say, I mean, those are two good looking people, Steph.
Absolutely. Wow.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.